Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny. Johnny's got the topic. I had no idea. He gave me like a little hint, but I'm still confused because I just send things to Amazon. So Johnny, take us away.
All right. We're going to play a little game, Mike. I pulled up something using AI, and I'm going to see if we agree with AI, what AI had to said, or us humans have the better information. So it's literally us versus AI. And here, let's get the show on the road.
Oh man.
So the prompt is, what are the top 10 reasons people fail at selling on Amazon?
Whoa.
Oh. All right. And maybe we'll cover some stuff we've never covered before, because I didn't really look at the answers. So it's going to be a surprise for both of us.
It better not say be subscribed to the used book guy.
All right. Number one. Poor product selection. Many new sellers fail to conduct proper market research and end up offering products in oversaturated niches. They often rely on assumptions or personal preferences instead of using data to find profitable items that have strong demand and low competition. I agree with it.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm going to relate to the video we just recorded, but this would be this past week's video when we talked about everybody's business to them is the best business, right? Everybody's selling, everybody's product is the best product. So what happens here, how do you start selling on Amazon? You find somebody on the internet that says you can make money selling on Amazon. And then you think you can just copy and paste what they do, but you don't know how much they're paying for the Def Leppard cassette, right? Maybe they're getting it for free, but Johnny's got to pay $10. Well, of course, Johnny ain't going to make no damn money, but me, who has the connection, build a relationship, 100%. Poor product selection is, you know, I mean, we sell the junkiest stuff, right? Like, let's just shoot straight. Like, we sell books, CDs, DVDs, the majority of them in used condition. When it comes to saturation, it's 100%. That's us. We literally eat, sleep, swim in saturation, but there's still a path forward. But it is a reason, you know, a lot of people fail on Amazon, because if you get sucked down the wrong rabbit hole and you don't get the full picture, which is really never spun up when you come across these other ideas, all the overhead costs, that's probably one of them in there anyway. All right, I'm going to shut up about number one because we'll never get through these 10.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not using a scanning app and you're one of those guys who just, this looks like it will sell, I'm going to buy it and send it in, this applies to you.
Good luck.
Good luck, Chuck. Number two, insufficient budget and poor financial planning. Underestimating the full cost of selling on Amazon is a common cause of failure. Sellers often fail to account for rising fees, advertising costs, and storage penalties, which can quickly erase thin profit margins. Not having enough capital to sustain the business through its initial low profit phases is another factor. I agree.
It's funny because my topic was going to be, right? So I asked Johnny if he had a topic, because if not, I had one. So this is literally my topic in a nutshell. My topic was going to be resellers living paycheck to paycheck based on your reselling paycheck is just a recipe for disaster. And this 100% is it. I mean, are there ways you can get away with a low budget and be successful reselling? 100%. But that is a completely different mindset grind that should only exist for a short period of time. As you start to build your business, any business takes capital to start. Thankfully, we as resellers can start with the items we have around our house, right? Like, we can sell things around the house. And if you've ever been broke and had to sell something to make your bills, you understand this. And and we had Miss Lachey commented on the video, and she wanted to know, like, she wanted us to cover kind of the true overhead cost of selling on Amazon. And I'll just rip a few off right here, right now, right? You got your scouting app. That's going to be $30 a month. You got your listing apps, going to be another $50 a month. You got your Amazon, $39.99, right? So we're already at $110 a month. You're going to need a scanner. It's probably going to be another $20 a month. You're going to need boxes to send your stuff to Amazon. You're going to need a thermal printer. It quickly adds up. You're talking about at least a couple hundred dollars of overhead in the beginning, and an ongoing overhead of probably at least $150 every single month you're in business on Amazon.
Right. And I don't know if your numbers include, like, I don't know, the $20 to $30 a box it costs to send in.
Send, yeah.
Yeah. And then, oh, wait, there's storage fees. I mean, it's low off the gate, but pointing to the longer term storage fees over time, again, the storage penalties really add up. And I mentioned this in our previous episode. I experienced this in my return to Amazon. That can be a big, gigantic bill if you're not paying close enough attention or thinking you can outpace it. So yeah, I agree with number two here. Number three, weak listing optimization. A product listing is a digital storefront, and a poorly optimized one will not attract or convert customers. Failures include weak titles, low quality images, unclear descriptions, and insufficient use of keywords, all of which hurt a product's visibility and search ranking. I only agree with this in the context of you putting your item on the right ASIN listing. Outside of that, I don't really agree with this because it could have a no photo or a weird photo, but if it's got proper data to back it up, it's good to go. But again, knowing which ASIN, if it is one of those with multiple ASINs, I think is the really only applicable thing, number three, I agree with.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the idea and why we see so many ASINs in Amazon's catalog is if you're gated and you can't sell the Def Leppard cassette, right? You just create another listing and don't
Yeah.
categorize it under the brand Def Leppard. You actually can wind up, losing your ass listing on generic listings instead of the actual one that the brand is on. Like, you can lose your Amazon account over this. So yeah, Johnny's right. Make sure we're actively listing on the ones that have the lowest sales rank and are actually categorized as a cassette and not just unknown binding. Or you'll even see, DVDs listed as books, books listed as DVDs, things like that. So you do have to pay attention with this. And I guess, this kind of does appeal more to, like, I guess if you're doing private label type stuff. But like Johnny said, sometimes you run an Amazon listing and, like, I took the photo. But if there's sales data to back it up, like, this is selling all the time. Some of the old Stephen King, the last Stephen King Bachman books that I went to list was a photo that somebody took. But this thing sells all the time for, $80. There, as long as it's the right thing in the right category, you're okay. But yeah, this can screw you over.
Definitely. Number four, poor inventory management. Both overstocking and understocking can be disastrous. Running out of stock hurts your product's search ranking, while overstocking leads to high storage fees and tied up capital. Many sellers also fail to address stranded inventory, which becomes unavailable for sale but still incurs storage fees. I mostly agree, more so on the last half of this.
Yeah, you gotta listen. I know I sit here and I don't really focus on much of the back end that comes with Amazon, right? I don't go that crazy because we have software that'll reprice and do everything for you. I'm a firm believer most of this goes away if you're selling 90% of your inventory by the time it has to get disposed of in 12 months, and that's what my business model looks like. So inventory management. So you have to realize, what are you paying for this stuff versus what are you selling it for? At some point in the road, we lose money on the items we sell because we want to avoid the Amazon fees. So if you're sending in a bunch of junk that's slow moving, that's a business model in itself. But you have to accept the fact you're going to lose, you're going to win some, you're going to lose probably more of them, but you should still come out ahead. Inventory management, I mean, people just send stuff. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't know how to price it. They let the software price it for them. And what happens here, right? The storage fees aren't bad. They're not terrible. For those that have no idea, it's about 2 cents to 2.5 cents per item per month to store it at Amazon's warehouse. Not bad on the surface level, right? Doesn't sound bad. Well, when you get 5, 10,000 items, well, quarter four comes around. That fee doubles automatically for 3 months. So a quarter of the year, you're paying double fees across the board. That's where your ass gets sunk.
Right, and on the stranded inventory side, you got to monitor that.
You do.
Quoting a tech here, it ain't for sale if it's in the back room. Nobody can buy it,
That's
and you're
what I'm
still,
saying.
and here you're getting a bill for it. So not only is it not for sale, you're getting a bill for stuff you have there that's not for sale. So I don't know. I do mine like once a week.
Yeah, they're
That's
not
probably,
that bad either. They used to be
yeah.
worse, dude. I mean, think about how bad stranded inventory was last year, right? With all the errors and, all the
It was
listing
terrible.
errors. Yeah, now it's nowhere near as. I never even had more than 10 at a single time, and I got,
Exactly.
basically 5,000.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses.
With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at gotolister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
Yeah, he's right. It used to be really bad. It used to be in the hundreds. And it would take you a sitting to get through that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, going on to number five here. Neglecting customer reviews and feedback. Reviews are crucial for building trust and influencing sales on Amazon. Ignoring customer feedback or failing to address negative reviews can damage a seller's reputation and deter potential buyers. Some new sellers also resort to illegal tactics like buying fake reviews, which can lead to account suspension.
Thankfully, we don't have to deal with feedback, right? Because if you're selling FBA, you can have 100% of feedback removed regardless of what it is, right? So I think this more pertains to, like, if you launch your own product. I don't think people even pay attention. I still think the majority of people believe when they shop on Amazon, they're buying directly from Amazon. They don't think it's like a third-party seller that's actually selling the item. Feedback doesn't matter in our space. I got 100% feedback in quotation marks, and I've been doing this for over five years now, because every single negative one I got, right, I send Def Leppard and there's no cassette, and they leave a review that says, hey, there's no cassette. I just click two things and it's gone within like 3 seconds. It's not like any other selling platform when it comes to feedback. Amazon FBA, they just automatically accept responsibility. I do think it's shitty, though, because some of the feedback is legitimate, right? Like, if I didn't send a cassette, like, I shouldn't be able to remove the feedback. But I just use the system to my advantage, I guess.
They make the rules. I'm just following the rules. I mean, you got 90 days to take care of this. So as long as you're somewhat monitoring it, I can say you can be pretty lazy with this. Like, yeah. Do it once a month. I don't think it matters. Like, very rarely do I not buy something on Amazon. I don't look at the review section. I don't. It's like, I want that. I know I want it. I'm going to buy it. The reviews don't matter to me. They're irrelevant. I'm not shopping at Amazon because I care about reviews. I'm shopping at Amazon for the convenience, because that's the whole idea behind Amazon, is convenience buying. As far as the illegal tactics of buying fake reviews, somewhat agree with that one, because early on we tell people you need reviews for the buy box, and sometimes they try to buy it, but don't do that. Just phone a friend. If you don't have a friend, pay Mike $3. He'll be your friend.
Yeah.
Number six here. Yeah. Okay. Ineffective advertising, PPC. I'm already going to tell you I don't agree with this one in what we do, but anyway. Many sellers fail to build a profitable advertising strategy. Some rely on organic reach and skip ads altogether, which others waste money on poorly optimized pay-per-click campaigns. With increasing competition, a strategic advertising approach is no longer optional for maintaining visibility. This only really applies, again, if you're in the private label, white label sector. Most of us are not. So if you're in that sector, this applies. If you're not, it doesn't apply.
I got one for you. I'll relate it to our business, right? People always want bulk inventory. Oh, Johnny, where do I get bulk inventory? Well, how about we run an ad on Facebook? How about we run an ad on Nextdoor? $3, $5 a day for a week. And how about we get some leads that come to us, right? Like, that would be my equivalent of you being a crybaby. You don't want bulk, but you're not willing to spend $3 or $5 a day and put together a nice little Canva ad, free Canva ad, and just pay a few bucks, see what can happen. That is the equivalent as ineffective advertising, is you just putting a post, I'd take your things. Instead of being like, hey, I will come do a free book clean out, or hey, I will come pay 20 cents for every DVD you have in your house. That would be the equivalent in our realm.
Nice. Number seven. Oh, we're getting spicy now. Not building a brand. A common rookie mistake is focusing on selling a generic product rather than creating a new, unique, well-branded customer experience. Sellers who overlook branding and inconsistent messages have a harder time standing out, connecting with customers, and earning repeat business.
Dude, it's kind of, if we relate this to us again, though, right? I mean, think about it. You have a brand, I have a brand. Even if we completely terminate social media in this podcast, we have a brand of, when we go into the libraries we work with, they know who we are and exactly what we do. That's almost our brand, right? The face of the company, what we do, kind of our whole business model is out there. So our brands is, For all the people out there who don't do social media and probably think, well, I don't have a brand. Well, you do have a brand. You are who you are. When you walk into some place and you have a conversation, everybody's seen at what they are, right? Your brand is almost your personality and your business behind it. And you have a brand, even though you don't post social media content. It's just not out there on the internet. That's all it is. There's plenty of people that don't exist on the internet that make lots and lots, trillions and billions of dollars reselling. And their brand is their brand. They have relationships. They show up to the flea markets. They are basically a brand. They're a walking brand for their business.
Right, and some of my best dealings have been with people I've met through this channel, your group, other groups, etc. And some of the best relationships, business and personal relationships, also come from me branding myself, talking, and putting myself out there in various groups and networking within my own community. So, not within Amazon, but outside of Amazon, absolutely. And again, unless you're in the private label sector. Number eight. Ignoring Amazon's constantly changing rules. Amazon is a rule-heavy platform, and its policies and fees change often. Sellers who fail to stay updated on the terms of service risk policy violations, which can lead to listing suppression, account suspensions, or even permanent bans.
Yeah, dude. We talked about this yet again. If you ain't sold on Amazon in the past 1 to 3 months, it's completely different now than it was 1 to 3 months ago. It's always changing. I mean, my whole business has changed because of Amazon fees. When I started, I was only the used book guy. I'd never even thought about scanning a CD or DVD. I didn't have to. I used to carry an inventory of over 5,000 of books alone. Well, Amazon fees go up based on size and weights of items. Well, I can't be the used book guy anymore. I had to diversify. So 100%. And it's not even just the fees, right? The policies are changing. How long, when we started, long-term storage was a year. You didn't get charged for extra storage if it sat there all the way up to a year. Well, now it's 6 months. And me and you are probably guessing it's probably going to go to 3 months because they don't want your stuff sitting there. Don't be consumed by it, right? It's not like I'm on like the Amazon seller newsletter every day, like reading through this stuff, but like big changes come along and you have to put a little, you got to stick your nose in here and there to see what's kind of going on. Like, all right, like with the used board games and everything, how they're kind of doing away with that, right? There's these little things, and Amazon's sneaky about sliding these things in, right? It's not like they make a huge announcement for everybody. It's like the sellers realize what's happening before Amazon even announces it.
Right. And I won't lie, and this is a common joke amongst all of us. If I don't check my email each morning to see if I'm still employed with Amazon, am I still working with this company or not? I mean, it's funny, but it's terrifying at the same time. But it becomes kind of a high stress joke. Hey guys, I'm still at Amazon today. It's a good day. But no, they put the fear of God in you. They really do. Because you hear the horror stories, people who've done technically nothing wrong. But maybe it's a gray area. They've done something wrong and they're getting hit for it. And you watch these people maybe have to take a walk or submit all kinds of documentation that's not easy through robotics or maybe a poor customer service agent. And it's nightmarish. It really is. So yeah, Amazon's scary, but it also pays the most money. There
I
you
got
go.
another one too before we hop off this one. Gates, like you're gated
Oh,
in the item, right?
yeah.
This has considerably changed, right? Think about it. It used to be only 10 units to get ungated in a brand, right? 10 ain't bad. Even if you pay $10, it's $100. Well, this past year now it's 100 units for most of the big brands. Well, now instead of spending $100, you're spending at least 500, closer to $1,000. And wait, it gets better. Just because you buy from universal.com doesn't mean they're taking your damn invoice, right? Like
Yeah.
they're As the rules are changing, Amazon is not clear about, if they even apply to a lot of the stuff that they do. It's like, well, for Mike, you can get in, but Johnny, no, you gotta wait. Oh, for you, you're definitely never getting in. We'll let you
I'm
think you
not the
might.
favorite. I'm not the favorite. They picked Mike over
Dude,
me.
it's crazy, man.
Yeah, and all I have to do each year is just add on a zero. That's all I got to do. And when it gets to 10 million units, people are going to be like, nah, man. I'm good. Number nine, losing the buy box. The buy box accounts for the vast majority of Amazon sales. A seller can lose this coveted spot due to pricing mistakes, poor performance metrics, or low stock, all of which directly result in lost sales.
This is what my Amazon nightmares are. I think I'd rather be banned than never have the buy box again, because I do believe, you know, and the numbers even show this, that over 90% of Amazon sales come through the buy box, which is that stupid buy now button. Listen, I don't make people's mentalities, right? I know it's stupid that people just go to the page and hit buy now. I understand everybody always complains and yells at me about that, that people are drones and they just hit buy now. But without the buy box, it's not talked about enough, right? You start out on Amazon, you are not buy box eligible in the categories you sell in for used items. So you start selling used books, used CDs, used DVDs, right? You're brand new to this. You go spend money. You're not going to get 90%+ of sales you otherwise would until you get the buy box. And wait, there's more. How do you get the buy box? Amazon, we can't tell you. It's proprietary information. So here you are.
Stupidest answer they've ever given.
Here you are with 5% of the sales you should get. And like Johnny said, you log into your phone every day and hope in the box it says no, that it says yes. That is literally how unlogical, delogical, no logical words I'm making up. It just doesn't make any sense. And it drives me nuts because it's not talked about enough. And it's solely the only thing that matters. I just told you, I'd rather get banned than be put in no buy box hell for the rest of my life.
Let me put it to like employment perspective. So you start a new job. You're an intern. You're getting paid minimum wage with the possibility to move up in the company. So you go to your boss. You're like, yo, boss, what do I need to do to prove to you guys so I can move up to get a better paycheck? And they're like, we don't know. We're not. Well, we do know, but we're not going to tell you. And you're like, well, what if I do this? And they give you, might work. Am I wasting my time? Maybe. That's how it is. It's literally like, how do I get promoted to Amazon? And you go to your boss and he's like, we know, but we're not telling you how. You do whatever you think's best, sir. We'll maybe think about it. Maybe.
People get it in a month. People get it in a year. That is literally like real experiences that people have had in our groups, is that some people will get it in a month, some gotta wait a year, and some may never get it. And you know what? When they step away from Amazon, I don't blame them, because you cannot run a business at 5 to 10% capacity of what it actually is just because of some algorithm proprietary information the platform has.
All right, number 10, lack of patient and unrealistic expectations. Many newcomers expect instant profits and give up when they realize that building a successful Amazon business takes time and consistent effort. They may also fail to take calculated risk or outsource tasks, leading to burnout. I mean, I kind of agree with this one all around.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even Amazon. I think that's anywhere. Like, sure, you can start on another platform and get some results right away, but especially with Amazon, because they hold your money, right? They're going to hold your money. You sell something today, you're not getting that money for 4 weeks, right? Even when you've been doing this for a while, they still hold your money for a decently long time. And a lot of it, unfortunately, a lot of Amazon content creators are around, you know, the crazy big numbers, right? Like, start today and you can make, you know, X amount of dollars, and it's usually 5-6 figures, and it's not realistic for your average person to go start an Amazon business and make 6 figures profit in the first year. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to hit 6 figures profit this year, my Amazon business. I literally would have to, mine, I'm right about 45-55 split. So for me to do 6 figures in profit, I would have to do like 215, 220 in overall sales. I might hit 200, but I'm telling you this from somebody that's carrying thousands of inventory, sending multiple boxes every single week, eat, sleep, breathe, send in as much as I possibly can, that expectations and what's really going on and what you know, what's being spun up out there is too, and that's, you know, that's why I accept the fact, right? Like, I'll never be the huge reselling YouTube channel, because I'm never going to try to sell somebody something that ain't real, right? It takes time. And if you start Amazon thinking you're going to be able to make money your first 3 months, you're dead wrong. I don't care what business model you have. You're not going to be profitable at least your first 3 months. I would probably say you're looking at 6 months until you get some type of positive flow back into your bank account.
Absolutely. I mean, the only way this is even feasible, and you have to have outside money, like a good chunk of it, and then you go all in with Amazon. And yeah, maybe you can pull that off in your first year, but even if you had that bankroll of money, you're not going to learn what you're doing. And I'm going to question, yeah, you did 100 grand in sales, but how much was your overhead because of your warehouse, your employee cost, your cost of goods, and all of that? Like, were you really profitable? Question mark. I don't know. You got to be doing this for a little while to have some knowledge before you can pull this trigger on those bigger things. Now, if you hire, I don't know, Mike to come run your Amazon business and you fund him to do that, that's a whole different story. Again, those are one-off scenarios and questionable results at the end of that. So, because Mike's right, it costs so much to get started. We went over the monthly cost at the beginning, and if you're not that well off or have a benefactor bankrolling you, this is it's grind. You got to grind it out. You got to pay your dues more or less with real dollars and sweat equity.
Yeah, and I think you kind of look at it that way too. It's when you start out, when we started out, we had other things going on, right? Like it wasn't like we just started from zero with no money and we're trying to build this reselling business, right? Like I was working at CVS, you had your job. These were things we kind of built up on the side before we take the plunge. But I do think those types of people are far and fewer in between because it's so appealing now, right? To work for yourself. It's kind of like the trendy thing to do to be an entrepreneur. And I believe 100% the best way to get ahead in this lifetime is to have your own business and, work your own ass off and make your own money and keep all your money at the end of the day. I do believe that, but with reselling comes this false idea that you can go and we can, the big thing is like retail arbitrage. That's kind of the one that most people see on the internet. It's like, you can go to your local Walmart clearance aisle or your Marshall or your Ross, and you can buy the item for $20 and make $40 on Amazon. And they're not wrong, but the idea that you can go do that today and ship it to Amazon tomorrow and get paid by the end of the week is 100% wrong.
Right. I mean, so we had a list of top 10. Most of it I agree with. There were some situational things or we needed to reapply it elsewhere, but I thought it was a pretty decent list. I think AI's on it. It's not perfect, but yeah.
Nah, I think AI, it'll get better over time. And for those who don't know, I've kind of talked about it publicly. Like, I really don't mess around with AI like that. Like, all but like one or two things I've ever done in social media is like AI related. So I don't really like kind of incorporate it with my reselling business. I know a lot of you out there do, and a lot of you get results. I've heard some crazy things, right? Like, you can plug in like 10 different books you have, and they'll be able to tell you which ones you should bundle together to sell on eBay. I've heard of people doing things like that. Like, that's cool and appealing to me, but like, I just do my own thing, right? I just scan stuff and box it up. Like, I try not to get too involved with all the craziness and trying to, crack the code. Like, I feel like I hack my time well enough on my own that I don't need AI trying to tell me, because if I talk to AI, dude, AI is going to be like, yo, you're lazy, bro. Like, why don't you get out here and work, right? Like, I'm not talking, AI is going to be trying to work me harder instead of smarter. Because it'll be like, well, it seems like you got everything figured out besides you actually going out there for more hours. And I'm like, no, sorry, we can't be friends, AI, whatever the hell one we're using.
Oh man. I mean, yeah, AI is a tool in the toolbox, an imperfect one at points. And again, yeah, I see people do some crazy stuff with it. Like, here's a photo of a bunch of books. Which one's worth $100? And AI is like, none. Okay, pass. We'll do it again and again and again. Or and then they figure out a way to automate it, right? So that's cool uses of AI. Or hey, AI, research this rare signature in this book. Tell me if it's actually valuable or not. Is AI really a signature expert? Who knows? But maybe it'll say yes, maybe it'll say no. Or getting rid of VA, swapping for AI to do it in its place, right? Poor VA, they were only making $3 an hour to begin with, and you just fired them. But whatever, robots replace humans, it's cool.
Hey, can I when I send you a box, can I get paid like more or less if you use AI to look at my stuff, right? Because I know you look up things manually yourself. Like, will I get an extra 10% if I just say you can have AI look it up instead of you having to look it up?
No, there's a fee for that. You get charged, actually.
The AI is probably free though. Come on.
If you did the AI work, you're making me do it. If you're making me do it, I'm going to charge you for that. That's how business works, Mike.
It's just one photo. Just upload it for me. I don't even know how to log into Chat GPT.
It's okay, Mike. You'll get the bill. You don't have to worry about it. It's
I'm
okay.
always trying to cut corners, even in Johnny's business. I'm like, hey, how can I get some extra percentage out of the stuff I sent to Johnny through
And
AI
my answers
later?
are always, that doesn't work the way you think it works, Mike. You're just going to get charged more.
And you know what he's gonna do, right? He's got my box sitting there. He'll get through it today. He's gonna put it through the damn AI, and it's gonna say none of it's worth anything.
Oh man, yeah.
I mean, you kind of hit on the head, right? We brought it up before and got your opinion on like all the AI listing software that's come to eBay, and I do think there are uses for it. I think for the person that's like yourself and is trying to differentiate yourself in the manner of the quality of your listings, AI isn't there yet, right? Like it's kind of like
No.
when I used to list on eBay and I would hit sell similar and like the shit's never filled out right, right? There's always something kind of askew and like one of those little details can kind of have your listing never sell. I think for especially the space we're in with media, especially older books, I think it's got a long runway ahead until it gets to where we need it to be. But I think I think some people enjoy it. And I think some people are making a lot of money doing it. Like you said, like building bots to kind of skim Facebook Marketplace, things like that. Like there's crazy uses out there that nobody's really thought of yet. But it is, things are changing. We said it before. You got to be up with the times.
Yeah, like I'm using one right now, but it saves about 15 seconds per listing, which is significant when you're compounding listings. But I still have to put in a lot of manual work on top of that to get what you said, the quality listing out of it. It does a passable job, probably better than a cross-listing software, I would say, but it's still not top-notch. I don't know when it will be top-notch because all of them. Media is kind of like bottom rung, and the one I'm using is okay. But again, it's just okay. It's not great. It's not fantastic. It's not something where I can just upload photos, hit list, done. It's no. Yeah, I do that. It fills in a lot of stuff. I have to delete some stuff, swap some stuff out. I still have to double check the addition thing because here's the problem with all the AI tools right now. Books have the word first edition in there all the time. Doesn't mean it is.
Yeah.
And that's book knowledge. So I have to look at the actual copyright page to verify. No, it's not delete. It's a third printing.
Yeah, you're right. There are things that it's just not going to be able to catch ever, right? Like no matter how good it gets, because it's just going off the information it's given, right? So if you submit that photo, that copyright page, and it says first edition, well, it's going to
Yeah,
assume
it'll
that it's
say the words first edition on there, and it thinks it is a first edition when it's really not.
Yeah, I mean, like the Harry Potter books, right? It says first edition, and it's not a true first edition. And like the
Right.
difference in price is like tens of thousands of dollars. It's like,
Whoops,
oh, yeah,
there's a
whoops.
return. I guess I did a loan through eBay. Now I got huge penalties on the return.
Yeah,
Oh,
it's kind of cool. I mean, we'll see how it pans out here in the next year or so. I think it's kind of like any new technology, like electric cars, solar panels, like. This is the beginning of it, and then it's only going to get better and better and better as the technology gets better, better and better. That was kind of a cool thing, though. I was surprised that it actually didn't give out crazy ass, things that actually would hurt an Amazon business, but it kind of was, like it does. It kind of summarizes everything and kind of could put it into bullet points. But I wouldn't live or die by what AI says ever. I think you're trying to be like the Terminator, dude, right? Where he gets like shot up and like lit on fire, and he's like. Half his face is man and the other half is machine, right? You're like trying to be the perfect combo can.
Exactly. I mean, we have to do at least in eBay land or anything you're doing manual like that, in my opinion, not necessarily algorithmically, but for the customer. Okay, the algorithm leads them to click on it, but if you give a garbage presentation, they're gonna go hit the back button and go click on something else. You got to present it in the right way. So again, I think your analogy's spot on. You kind of have to be the Terminator cyborg person of, okay, I'm going to use technology here, but I need to put the human touch and knowledge here. And once you combine the two, that's a beautiful thing.
I will say 100% of the time when I shop on eBay, which I do frequently, even Deb, she'll tell you the same thing. We're looking at the item descriptions. We're looking at how many photos, and we don't want that stupid AI generate AI item description. And all it does is put your active like item descriptives into a lame ass paragraph that's like fancy worded. Like when I'm shopping for something, that is the last thing. I do think now though, right? This is another thing. You can tell when somebody's used an AI, even in like a response, right? You can almost tell that somebody's using AI instead of typing up something themselves. And I think that is like, first off, it's going to rub people the wrong way. I think a lot of people, I mean, a lot of people use this for like research papers or like school things or even job resumes and cover letters. I think that's already a turnoff in the space because they know it's just some lazy ass you typing in a few prompts into ChatGPT or whatever, and you're getting this response back and you're just copy and pasting it. People aren't even reading what they're saying. And I do think humans can spot when something is AI versus when it's not.
Right. I mean, even on the listings, I'll notice it'll do that. Like, I'll have like two sentences of solid, this is what the book's about. And the rest of it's like, here's an ISBN number. It says $1.75 on the front cover. Nobody cares. Your customer does not care about that stuff. Oh, it shows its vintage age because it was written in 1970. Nobody cares about that shit. Tune
Yeah,
out.
it's
So
just
yeah, that's
filler.
the work I have to like backspace that, keep these two, and let me spice it up a little bit with my own stuff here. And you're right, it is an absolute turnoff. Now, outside of reselling, what I've really found AI to shine at is I'm bad. I give really short boilerplate emails. So I'll use AI to actually make it more flowery. The flow is a lot better. It's a lot nicer. I'm a nice guy, but I'm very direct. So making AI making me sound nicer than I actually am, even though I'm not being mean, I'm just being direct. It gives a non-direct presentation and it flows a lot better. So on my email correspondence, it works really well. I'll say that. That's where flowery language can really shine is in emails.
I need you to develop me an AI for when anybody ever messaged me about reselling, so I don't even have to exist on the internet no more. It's just AI responses from the used book guy.
Yeah, it could like literally watch all your videos in, I don't know, 60 seconds or less and make AI response mic.
That's what I'm saying, dude. All of a sudden, I just show up for the podcast twice a month, and it's not even me, dude. I need like a hologram. I'll be good. I won't even have to do my own
If you see
videos.
Mike and I with like six fingers or the double lip thing going, you know that we've replaced ourselves with AI.
We are not here no longer. It's hologram Johnny and Mike.
Oh, I was trying to shoot a video the other day for my channel, and I was trying to pull up a book because I was giving examples of books on, and I had to go to eBay because it wasn't on the other channels, and I had to scroll forever till I found a legitimate photo, like a real photo of the actual book, because of either stock photo or AI photos, like AI generated photos. It's not real, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. It was like I had to like go to page two to find this thing. I mean, it was a rare book, to be fair, but as a customer, if I was shopping for that rare book, I ain't clicking on any of those. I want the real deal. I want to know what I'm buying, especially if I'm going to spend $5,000 on a book.
Yeah, I agree. Even when I go like to check the validity of a product, right? If I got something new sealed in a thrift store or like a TV set that like I can't find on Amazon and I go look it up on eBay, you're right, dude. Like it's never the first top few that are the actual product, like photos
Exactly.
and everything. You actually got to scroll. And that's where business models like yours take advantage of it, right? Because we're like, the hell with this. We're going to do way better than this. We're going to have better title, better photos, better everything. That is how you win on eBay when you're in a super saturated niche like media. You have to do something different. Sure. Can you get away with it? 100%. If you got 100,000 listings that AI
Right, that's why
did.
the stock photo cross-listing game works, right? Because if you sling enough of it up, you only need a 2% sell-through rate. It's fine.
Yeah, and then even then, right, you're going to still be making peanuts versus if you put a little bit of effort in, understand what the customer is looking for, then you kind of build it out the way you have. You know, I would, you know, sell the stock photo of Def Leppard, right? In this case, is all beat the shit, the cassettes beat the shit, but here you are at an extra $20, but there's actual photos of the cassette, the inside, the artwork. Versus mine at $5, but it's just a stock photo. I'm probably going to get a return anyway, versus your customer who sees what they're actually getting. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, and I did do an experiment about 500 listings mine. This was a recent one to see if any of them would sell just using AI and me putting just one keyword because I can't stand not having a blank field. So at least one in each of the required fields, or optional required fields. And you know what? I haven't sold a single one of those. And I think to sell those, my price point would have to come down because it's an inferior listing in my point of view. But I just wanted to see if it would sell. I'm going to give it another 30 days to see if any of them do sell. But I'm probably going to have to go back into those 500 listings in my spare time, which is very few minutes, and correct them. Because I just let AI do its thing with just a down and dirty quick, I need to fill at least these couple things out and just let it ride. But so far, that experiment's not been great in results. And I think that's, I mean, to everything we're talking about, but I think that's what's going to get flood the market is a lot of that stuff. And a lot of that stuff is just going to sit.
What happened? Ooh, I got a crazy doomsday scenario that just came to my mind.
Ooh.
What happens if eBay puts a little filter box on the left that says exclude AI generated listings?
Oh man, I'm gonna have to go back and re-upload the actual photos.
Dude, I'm just saying, this is it. Johnny's gonna have nightmares now for the foreseeable future.
I did notice that too, at least in the software I'm using. It has a different photo file than I'm used to. It's like HCEC or something. That's
Oh,
what it's.
yeah.
If they have a filter for that, I gotta go redo a lot of listings and I gotta pay the photographer to redo photos because that'll suck.
I know. Listen, dude, I got you off the rails. Just act like I never said that. All right. That's going to
I'm
do it
not
for
gonna
this.
sleep now, Mike.
That's
I'm not
going to
gonna
do it for
sleep.
this episode. I've poisoned Johnny's mind for the foreseeable future. As always, we appreciate you listening on the podcast or watching over on YouTube, and we'll talk to y'all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.